Hello, everybody, and good morning. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are back for our 201st Turning Towards Life after our 200th anniversary last week. And it's a joy to be here as ever in amongst the rest of our lives happening. And I'm feeling again the way that life seems to speed onto these Sunday mornings, Justin. Like it feels like 2 minutes ago since I was sitting here talking to you before. And I'm so glad to be bringing this beautiful source that you found, and really looking forward to hearing how come you brought it and where you found it. And I'd never heard of Melody BT before, so I'm really, really interested and open, and finding what she said already really moving to me. So thank you.
Thanks, Lizzie. Morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be back. 201, Lizzie, means we're embarking on our third century.
Yes.
Which is fun to think about. So I'm also really pleased to be here and to be bringing this source. And I also want to extend my welcome to everyone. You might be with us on Facebook or Instagram or our podcast, or who knows, so many different places you can find us. Turningtowards.life, the website. And as usual, what we're going to do is, Lizzie, read this source together and then see what conversation comes from it. So a tiny little bit of background. My thanks for this source, actually this time, go to Brian May, who I know you'll know who he is, Lizzie. He's the guitarist of Queen, and he's someone who I think I have identified with in many, many ways in my life. And he's been writing recently about this topic, about what it is to be someone who lets feelings come through or not, and what it is to be someone who's sensitive to the world. So when I read this from a book that he's been reading, I found myself identifying very, very deeply with what was written here. So I thought it would be wonderful to bring. So it's a book called The Language of Letting Go by Melody BT. And for those of you who are new to being with us on Turning Towards Life, you can find always the source in our Facebook group, which you're very welcome to join, which is Turning Towards Life, and you can ask to join there. You can also find it on our website, turningtowards.life, and also in the notes in the podcast and all of those kind of places. It goes like this. Since I've been a child, I've been in an antagonistic relationship with an important part of myself. I have consistently tried to ignore, repress, or force my feelings away. I have tried to create unnatural feelings or force away feelings that were present. I've denied I was angry when in fact I was furious. I've told myself there must be something wrong with me for feeling angry, when anger was a reasonable and logical response to the situation. I have told myself things didn't hurt when they hurt very much. I have told myself stories such as, that person didn't mean to hurt me. I need to be more understanding. The problem was that I had already been too understanding of the other person and not understanding and compassionate enough with myself. I have tried to use spiritual energy, mental energy, and even physical exertion to not feel what I needed to feel to be healthy and alive. Emotional control has been a survival behavior for me. I can thank that behavior for helping me get through many years and situations where I didn't have any better options, but I have learned a healthier behavior, accepting my feelings. We are meant to feel. Part of our dysfunction is trying to deny or change that. Part of our recovery means learning to go with the flow of what we're feeling and what our feelings are trying to tell us. We are responsible for our behaviors, but we do not have to control our feelings. We can let them happen. And we can learn to embrace, enjoy, and experience, feel the emotional part of ourselves.
Thank you, Justin. I'm going to read just the second half again. I've tried to use spiritual energy, mental energy, and even physical exertion to not feel what I need to feel to be healthy and alive. Emotional control has been a survival behavior for me. I can thank that behavior for helping me get through many years and situations where I didn't have any better options. But I have learned a healthier behavior, accepting my feelings. We are meant to feel. Part of our dysfunction is trying to deny or change that. Part of our recovery means learning to go with the flow of what we're feeling and what our feelings are trying to tell us. We are responsible for our behaviors, but we do not have to control our feelings. We can let them happen. And we can learn to embrace, enjoy, and experience, feel the emotional part of ourselves.
Thanks, Lizzie. Oh my, there's so much here. So the thing that's really immediately here for me now, which is so illuminating, is I've been coming to see that very often when I feel deadened inside, it's because I'm trying to do exactly the thing that Melody Beattie is talking about here, that some part of me is trying to shut down or repress or hold back. This that she says here that I love. I can't find it now. Oh, yeah. Trying to shut down what I need to feel to be healthy and alive. And the part of me that's doing the shutting down, the pushing away of all the feelings, is very often doing it in order that I fit in to some imagined way that I'm meant to fit into the people around me. And it's usually something like, if I feel too much, people will get hurt. If I feel too much, people won't like me. If I feel too much, I'll get rejected. And it's taken me a very large part of my adult life to find out that there's this inner dynamic that goes on that I can be part of. It's not just something that's happening. So it's not just, oh, I'm feeling flattened today. It's so been so helpful for me to be able to say, part of me is suppressing another part of me that really wants to be alive and feel, and I can intervene in this, I can play a part in this. And the permission giving here from Melody Beattie that's such a useful reminder for me is, we're meant to feel. Just that is the ordinary state of human affairs, is that we feel stuff. And that what we feel can tell us so much. Mm. It doesn't mean I have to act in any particular way because I feel something, but to feel it and to let the feeling be felt and to let the feeling something flow through, I keep on learning, is such a necessary part of being alive. It's feels to me like an indivisible part of my own aliveness, and yet so curious that I can get so good at pushing this away unless I'm really paying attention.
Mm. Yeah, I'm finding myself super curious about somehow, you know, what even is a feeling. And it really is quite a mysterious realm in a way. And one that, you know, if it hasn't been something that we've been taught about, it can end up as a right old mystery as to what this is even talking about. Like I can find that part in me that's, you know, very emotional and feeling, but I can also find the part that's like confused about, oh, so there's something that moves through my body. So the way I experience feeling is like it moves through me. And I can do loads of things to a feeling. And I think that's what Melody Beattie is saying, is like I have agency with it. So I can tell in this moment that where I have a feeling, I can put it away for later. I can magnify it. I can also do what she says, which is create unnatural feelings. Like I can add, so if there's a drama or I'm feeling like a victim or I'm, you know, feeling hard done by, I can pour some fuel on the fire for purposes of making someone else feel something. Like it's a really sophisticated realm. And what I love about what she's saying as well, Justin, is this permission thing. And that those things I was just talking about are a means of controlling them. And that what Melody's saying to us is that we don't have to meddle with them. We can let them happen. So in some way we can see them, feel them, and not mess with them and trust them. And I feel like it's a big invitation as well to feel what they're trying to do, what they're trying to say. And it feels like a really important and deep inquiry to see what it means to allow them and to not put too many requirements on them or judgments on them, or even like say what they are sometimes. I know there's times for me where like, I don't really have the words, I don't really have the reason, I don't really have the logic. It's just that there's feeling. There is feeling. And as we're talking, Justin, I'm just realizing that I don't know whether it's very, I don't know, even when we say the word feeling, it feels like, hold on, we need to look at this more. You know, we need to look at this way more deeply as a world, to know what a feeling really is. Because I don't think we've received any information about this in our education broadly. I certainly haven't. And because there isn't a kind of lineage of understanding feelings, whatever our ancestry is to now, certainly in my line, there wasn't like so this is what this feeling might be telling us, and this is what this feeling might be telling us. There wasn't a kind of narrative or words. It was mostly just, please stop doing that, stop feeling that, so that we can get on with this. And actually, you need to pull yourself together. Because, so there was some value judgment put on feeling things that was like, don't do that, do this. And we never turned towards them. We never went, oh, look, what is this? It's almost like there wasn't the trust there that you could feel something and come through the other end and everything would come to balance again. It's like an aversion to the imbalance. I mean, it probably isn't even that, is it? But it looks like it if your narrative is everything has to be fine, or everything has to be cordial, or everything has to be easy, or everything has to be contained, or everything has to be straightforward. This is a realm of humanness that's not linear. It's not fixable. It's not, you can't nail it down to something. And I know the part in me that when there is emotion and when there is feeling, I have to really remember that it's valid and it's okay and it can be trusted, rather than let's do something to get rid of this thing. And I think I've had to have like an ongoing mantra in my life in recent years to go, I'm not gonna die if I feel this. I think that's the kind of the threat that is there, is that if I let this happen, I'm gonna open some box, I'm never gonna be able to close it again, it's gonna ruin everything, and I need to control this in order for everything to be all right and for the people around me to be all right. And so to have been in a different understanding of this has been so helpful, because it's given me a deep kind of faith that we can do what Melody's inviting us into, which is to let something happen and know that it's a gift. But it's really hard at the time, because it's also emotionally, physically painful to really feel some big things. And then, of course, this isn't just talking about big feelings. This could be small feelings too, and you know, ones that are just a little something that we would like to pay attention to, versus like some huge big thing moving through us. But I know that the more I've been able to let the big things move through, the small things seem to have a home much more easily.
I see there's so much in what you're saying. I was particularly taken by the what is a feeling anyway question, because I realize, gosh, so I'm a person who feels a lot, and I feel a lot most of the time. It's very unusual for me not to be feeling a lot. And I learned in my family system and in the school system I was in, and I suppose in our wider cultures, like you're saying, I think I learned for all kinds of reasons to treat all of that as if it was somehow to be avoided, that it would cause. I've certainly had parts of me that have had this very, very strong sense that if I let myself feel the whatever it is, and even worse, if I express it, I'm getting curious about the connection between what we feel and how we express or give form to what we feel. And I think there are some important connections there. But I certainly took on, and it's certainly very familiar territory for me to be in, is no, that all of that really ought to get out of the way, because if it doesn't get out of the way, something bad will happen, something dangerous will happen, something bad will happen in relationships. And I can see all kinds of reasons, historical reasons, why that's the case as well. In my own history. But you've got me wondering about what a feeling even is, because it seems to me that one of the strange things about our feeling world is that although I imagine that the things I feel that I might call sadness or joy or irritation might in some way be similar to yours, I can't know, because my own feeling states are actually entirely how they feel, what it's like to feel them is entirely private.
Yeah.
So I realize that often I don't know what they are, but this conversation is reminding me that one way to come at them is to treat them, whatever they, these things are, these occurrences are, these, it's even hard to find a good noun for them. Are they waves? Are they beings? Are they, but it's to treat them as if they, to treat them as if they have intelligence and integrity of their own, to treat them like they're not just something that is happening. It's not like being caught in a gale or being rained on, which doesn't have content. It's just an experience. To also treat them as if there's something meaningful in them. And instead of trying to not feel them, one of the things I can do is I can cultivate an orientation of wonder and curiosity towards them. Because I was realizing as you were speaking that the thing that's very often happens for me is like I've got very strong feelings in my body right now, and I could label them lots of things. I could label them, it might be grief, or it might be tenderness, or it might be sadness, or it might be despair, or it. But until I spend some time with this something that's here, wondering about it and being curious about it, often I don't know what it is, and the words that I have for it are quite often misleading. So if I go, oh, I'm just sad, it can lead me down a whole path of understanding that's not even necessarily accurate. That might not, it might just be longing, you know, the ordinary longing to be met. It might be. So when I, this thing that you drew attention to, Melody Beattie's words, where she says, I've tried to create unnatural feelings or force away feelings that were present. This thing that you said, it's so possible to either try to make them go away or to somehow sort of add something to them that makes them serve some other purpose. That an alternative move is to go, hello, you. I'm here. I wonder why I wonder why you're here. I wonder what you're here for. To come with that kind of wondering orientation, as if we don't really know what, like starting from not really knowing what a feeling is at all, and then getting to know it. And that seems to me clearly way more life-giving than trying to amplify or repress or deny or all those kind of things. But it also seems to me, just in this moment speaking to you, that there's so much loving, tender possibility in that that's different from just sort of watching whilst the feeling goes past. Because that would be another sort of way, is to sort of cultivate a kind of detachment. Oh, there's this feeling. Oh, look, it's here or it's gone. But instead, to sort of bring a loving intimacy, whatever I'm feeling, there's always something of me that is not that feeling that I can bring loving intimacy towards the feeling. If I treat the feeling as a being, not just as... So anyway, that door is sort of opening for me from our from where we are in the conversation.
My gosh, Justin, as you're speaking, two big themes are coming for me. One is this whole thing of what if listening is the most appropriate response to absolutely anything. You know, what if we really were people who just listened when there were feelings about, whether ours or someone else's? And whether we could find that part of us that you were just saying that isn't the thing that's happening, that can listen to the thing that's happening. Whether that's my own happening or someone else's happening, can I listen, really listen? And that's really hard and really important that we do that. And the second thing that came up in the context of that for me was, when you were talking, was the consequences of if we don't do this in the life. And what if all kinds of different pieces of our mental health issues today are to do with the fact that there's this huge big kind of dam in place behind which all of this has been stored for our whole lives, because there hasn't been a listener, both in ourselves and other people around us. I just got this feeling in me of the kind of, I know in my life, the kind of titration I've had to do for everything that's been built up that hasn't been listened to. So then a kind of self-listening and an inquiry about what's happening. You know, like the dam can't go boof. Certainly in my experience, because I don't think the system would allow it, if you know what I mean. It's I can feel really big things, but I know that I'm not feeling everything at once. But maybe people do feel everything at once, though. I can only speak from my experience. But if this hasn't been an ongoing practice of listening to the way that we're feeling and expressing ourselves, the residue or the big kind of the weight of not having expressed, the weight of not having felt when there was something to be felt, but having pushed it away or denied it or put it somewhere, I can just feel this like, oh my gosh, someday that's going to come knocking. Like, it's not a sustainable way to live, because somehow we're oriented towards this healthy and alive state that Melody's talking about. So there's a kind of reclamation of those things that were there to be felt that didn't get felt, like an inevitable reclamation at some point, that this part of our being, this part of who we are, which is a huge, big part, which is what we feel as human beings. Like Melody says, we're meant for this. This is what we're built for. We have systems that allow us, that bring feeling for deep, great purpose. And yet somehow, and I'm feeling quite shocked at this right now in this moment, somehow we've like said, that's not okay. Like, what the hell went on there? What's wrong with the feeling? Surely a feeling is just like a thing that's happening that needs my attention, which has some intelligence to it because it's here. it's a, maybe it is a being like you're saying, Justin, and we've been like rejecting all these beings all these years. Like, go away, sadness, go away, joy, even, go away, devastation, go away. And they deserve our respect. They deserve our attention. They deserve our turning towards. So where there's this huge bank of unturned towardsness, I just feel in my chest at the moment this kind of, what is it? It's like a, like it's a bit of a panic. Like, oh, what if that's what causes so much unhappiness, so much difficulty, is because we haven't had a practice of feeling. And what it must be to, for all of us to reclaim the pieces of the beings, to reclaim the beings who really want our attention. And what if we could listen in a way to ourselves and others where we are treating feelings as beings? I mean, I feel like that's a new story for me right now around feelings, is that if they were beings, how would I listen to them? If they really were beings, let me call feelings beings now and see how that changes my orientation to when my little girl is having a lot of feelings. What if I treated those things that were arising in her as beings rather than things to tell me that I've done everything wrong as a parent because she's crying? What if I could say, oh no, yes, maybe I have done a few things that aren't right or whatever, but let me trust that these beings need my and her attention and anyone around us attention. What kind of flow could that create? What kind of aliveness, what kind of health could that create? If by being in relationship to feelings as beings, we were facilitating the flow of life.
Oh, Lizzie, this feels like a huge door to enter into, and your way of talking about it shows me that we have lots of metaphors for what feelings are, and they might be really, really inaccurate.
Mm.
So is a feeling a thing? I was thinking about, is it like a stone? And then I got thinking about kidney stones, right? You know, like, is it a thing that we have, that we've got to sort of painfully pass through us, or a thing that we've got to, you know, get out of the way, like, oh, who left that stone in the corner? Let's, you know, that stone shouldn't be here. Let's move it. Or are they, I think many of us have grown up in a metaphor. I was reading recently about Sigmund Freud and his theories of feelings, and he was writing about emotions in the steam age. And it's really interesting that his metaphors for feelings have a lot to do with steam engines, that sort of like pressure building up in one place and it being released somewhere else. And like all the workings of the sort of pressures and valves in a steam engine, which is another whole way of looking. Or I said this earlier, or what if they're waves that come through? But actually, of all of them, it seems to me that treating feelings as beings with their own intelligence, purposes, ways of relating to the world opens up so much.
Yeah.
So your language of listening makes so much sense to me. That if what we feel is something that is there, of course, to be felt, we can't escape feeling it. It's part of its, what makes it what it is. But it's there to be witnessed, listened to, and understood in some way. Mm-hmm. We'd start to see, like you're saying, we'd start to see that in the little ones around us, that an eruption of feeling, which really comes from the steam engine metaphor, that the presence of some feeling then becomes something that we can witness and be curious about and understand, and we can help one another to do that with our own feelings as well. And then inside us, we can bring that same orientation. Oh, look, there's something big and strong here, or there's something tender and delicate here. I wonder what it is that this something has to communicate, has to bring, what it is that it's wanting to have said. And then it becomes like listening to I think one of the things, as we know, is that when somebody is unseen, listening to them is so healing. Seeing them and listening to them is so healing. So it seems entirely plausible to me that our feelings are like that, that when they are unseen and unattended to, they get pained, they get in trouble, they get desperate. And that's also got me thinking about something that I touched upon earlier, which is that I know that I've found very often that taking up some form of creative expression is really helpful. So when there are mysterious feelings around in me, I found writing and drawing and painting and all of those kind of things really help. And I think that quite likely what's going on is that that simply gives a way to be a witness. It gives a way to listen, gives a way for a feeling to make itself known. So gosh, what a different way is emerging between us of imagining how we might work with the troubles and traumas as well as the delights and joys of our times, and where we might collectively and personally be getting stuck in coming at these some things with an entirely unhelpful understanding.
Yes, I'm feeling really faithful, Justin, in this moment, like an invitation to faith, because I think it's such a big thing we just really haven't been taught about in our culture. This is not a normal cultural discourse of this time in this place, and it does require faith to experiment with this. You know, what if I can just be with, turn towards and receive a feeling of my own or another's? How might that turn out? I might have never done that before. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, I might have never really received a feeling, really, really. And if I had that as my practice, if, you know, what would it, also for me, like what would it give to this little girl who's in my care to be faithful to her feelings, to know they weren't going to kill her, to know there was nothing wrong with them because of my implicit relationship to her feelings, which is that they're normal, they're fine, this is what you're meant to do, this is the body you have and the being you are, that feelings are part of it, that's just normal. And I feel really faithful to that and really kind of joyful in this moment that that's possible, given what my previous relationship to feeling has been, which is 100 things of controlling and getting rid of them and pretending they're not there and being in denial and all kinds of shenanigans that I've done with mine. So I'm feeling really faithful and grateful for the conversation and the invitation that this is.
Yeah, me too. Well, thank you so much, Lizzie, as always, for this conversation. I feel like we've stepped through a door together, an unexpected door, and who knows what that might open. So I want to say thank you to you, and thank you to everyone who's with us for stepping through these doors with us. And just to remind you that you can reach us these days, you can email us, Lizzie or Justin at turningtowards.life, and tell people about this if you think that they would be it would be a gift for them to be part of this conversation too. And all being well, we'll be back here 9 o'clock in the morning London time next Sunday.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone.